I did want to make a little statement. Yesterday I had a vision.
That I was a princess.
No, but I could see where I could have that. I'm just being a little funny, but yesterday Linda Lear's memorial was here. And this place, for the first time, was packed.
Yes.
Every chair was full, and many folding chairs were put out. I believe there's 86 chairs, which puts us over the fire marshal. And then there was probably another, 10, 15 folding chairs?
Yes.
Folks, it felt wonderful. And it was the way it was supposed to be, the way church is supposed to be. It should be full all the time. And I just, in my being, had a vision that this is church. All these people were Christians, had a wonderful message, and I just was bathed in that all day.
Amen.
It was great. And I think if we worked a little bit at it, it could be that way.
Evangelize.
And remember, get the dates that we're missing, the anniversaries and birthdays, and go after those people so we can sing. Amen? All right. Well, some of you asked for this message. Maybe not all of you, but there's a majority. So let's pray a minute. Well, Jesus, we just give you thanks, Lord. Thanks for today. Thank you for this church, Lord. And Lord, thank you that we can be a real church. People are our business. Thank you that you gave Elwan the courage to speak to us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that he didn't stuff it.
Thank you, God. Glory to Jesus.
Lord, this message is about one of our other bad habits. And Lord, I think we want to stand in front of you without bad habits or bad choices.
Yes.
So Lord, even in this message, which is kind of light, just equip us to walk in your kingdom. Prepare our hearts to walk in your kingdom. Love us even when we fall down, and help us get up. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I preach this morning, I want to begin by giving credit to a pastor named Steve Poe for some information that I'll be sharing with you. Also, please remember when you were given a choice last Sunday as to the topic for today, the majority of y'all chose worry. Worry, the bad habit of worry. Amen. So that'll be our focus in today's message. I call this series, I Quit. And this particular one is I Quit Worrying. I quit worry or worrying. Amen. Hallelujah. Comedian Carl Hurley tells a story about trying to throw away a trash can. He said, think about it. It's the one thing you can't get rid of. It's the one thing you can't get a garbage man to pick up. He said, I set my old rusty garbage can out at the street one morning thinking the garbage man would understand it needed to be thrown away. But when I came back that afternoon, the can was stacked up with the rest of the empty trash can. Well, the next week I put it out again, and this time I turned it upside down so they could see that the bottom had several holes in it and it needed to be thrown away. When I came home, it was stacked up next to the empty cans again. The next week, I took a sledgehammer and beat the can up pretty good and left it out front. But when I came home, not only was it stacked up next to the other empty cans, but the garbage man had actually tried to beat it back into shape. So he writes, finally, I did the only thing I could. I went to the hardware store, bought a heavy-duty chain and padlock, and chained the old can to a large tree in my front yard. And sure enough, that night somebody stole it. Amen. Then he said, you know, guys, I think worry is a lot like that old trash can. We know we need to get rid of it. But it's easier said than done. Amen. So many of us seem to have this false notion that if we worry about something, then we'll still be in control of it. And if we are in control of it, then everything will be okay. The fear of losing control of our situation and circumstances can cause all kinds of unhealthy emotions. Well, today we'll begin this series that I'm calling I Quit. And in these messages, which we will do just once in a while, I'll scatter them in, because you'd be just bent over like this if I gave them to you all at once, okay? We'll just scatter them in once in a while to examine some of our bad habits. And may I ask, what would God want you to do with a bad habit? Everybody understand that. God would really like you to get rid of that bad habit. Amen. Okay. The month of November is well on its way, and before long we'll begin preparing for New Year's, thinking about resolutions and changes. And among those resolutions, we considered the things in our life that we need to let go of, get rid of, or stop doing. Today we'll talk specifically about how important it is to quit worrying. You know, as a pastor, I'm constantly encouraging people to trust God no matter what. I give them scripture, reminding them to believe what the Word says. But when night sets in, there are times I personally will stare at the ceiling, feeling alone and full of worry. Now again, I know I'm not supposed to worry. I try not to worry, but sometimes it's just hard not to do. Yep. Amen? Amen? And yet the question we must continually ask ourselves is, are we trusting God or not? Mm-hmm. Obviously, if I'm worrying about something in the middle of the night, then I've not surrendered every area of my life to the Lord. Someone once said that the ignorant worry because they don't know enough. The knowledgeable worry because they know too much. The rich worry because they are afraid of losing what they have. The poor worry because they don't have enough. The old worry because they're facing death. The young worry because they are facing life. Amen. I also read that 40% of the things we worry about will never happen. And 30% of the things we worry about can't be changed. This article went on to say that only 8% of the things we worry about are legitimate concerns and usually are the things we can do something about. As we consider the subject of worry this morning, the most important thing to remember is that worry is the opposite of faith. While faith says I trust God, worry says I don't. I don't trust God. In Matthew chapter 6, we read about five things Jesus said concerning worry. Let's turn there if you have your Bible with you. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 24. First of all, Jesus says that worry is unreasonable. Worry is unreasonable. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Obviously, Jesus is warning us that no one can serve two masters. So you have to decide if your master is going to be God or is it going to be material things. His point reminds us that we don't need to worry about the material things in life, what we will eat or drink or what we will wear, because God has promised to supply our needs.
Hallelujah.
Not to mention that life is more important than food and the body is more important than the clothes. But understand, making a decision not to worry does not mean that you're not going to take action. In other words, if you said, I'm not going to worry about food anymore, or I'm not going to worry about what I wear anymore, it doesn't mean that you're not going to plan meals or provide for the needs of your family or that you won't have nice clothes. It just means that you're going to stop fretting over these things and begin being super responsible with the blessings of the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen?
You see, to worry about something you can't change is useless. And to worry about something you can change, well, that's kind of dumb. Amen. If you can change it, then change it. Amen?
Yeah.
Don't sit and worry about it. Worry is also unreasonable because it always exaggerates the problem. Let's say there's a rumor that the present state of the economy, there's a possibility that your company might have to downsize this year. Well, the more you think about it, the bigger the concern becomes until you're convinced yourself you are out of a job. Amen? On the other hand, faith says if that happens, God has another plan for my life.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
That's right.
The second thing Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 is that worry is unnatural. Worry is unnatural. Look at verse 26 first. It says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And then verse 28 and 29. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. In verse 29, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Jesus gives us a lesson from nature. Now I have to admit, I don't know a lot about birds. I know a cardinal because he's red. And Mrs. Cardinal's a little orange. That's about my limit. But I believe that birds have to be on the top of God's welfare roll. Birds really don't do a whole lot. And yet God says, hey, if I take care of the birds of the air, don't you think you are a lot more valuable to me than they are? Amen?
Yeah.
And what about the flowers? Have you ever looked at the beauty of a flower, the detail that God puts into making something that won't last a week? So here's his point. Animals don't worry. Plants don't worry. The only thing in all creation that worries are people. Have you ever heard someone say, worry just comes natural to me? Well, actually it doesn't. Worry is a learned behavior. We learn it from our parents, our peers, our partners, and that's why we are talking about it today. Habits are learned behaviors. But friends, hear me. Just as we've learned to worry, you can learn to trust God.
Amen.
Amen. God didn't create us to be worriers. In fact, worry can cause all kinds of health problems, such as heart disease, cancer, migraines, ulcers, hives, and even diabetes. The Mayo Clinic actually estimates that more than 80% of their total caseload is directly related to worry. One medical doctor believes that people could learn to stop worrying, a large percentage of disease would be cured. Another doctor shared about a woman who worried for 40 years that every cramp she got was the beginning of stomach cancer. And yet when she was 73, she died of pneumonia. He said she wasted 40 years worrying about the wrong disease. Worriers are like the patient in the mental hospital, holding his ear close to the wall and listening intently. The nurse finally approached him and asked, what are you doing? The patient said, shh. Continued listening. Finally, the patient motions for the nurse to come over and listen. So the nurse puts her ear up against the wall and for a long time, and she finally exclaims, I can't hear a thing. I know, the patient exclaims, it's been like that all day. The third truth that Jesus shares in Matthew chapter 6 is worry is not helpful. Right. Worry is not helpful. Verse 27 says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And I can guarantee that. Friends, worry will not make you taller or shorter. And it certainly won't extend your life. In fact, if anything, it will shorten it.
Yeah. Yes.
Simply put, worry doesn't work. Doesn't work. It's stewing without doing. Amen?
I like that.
Stewing without doing. It's like revving a car engine while it's in neutral. It uses a lot of energy, but you're not getting anywhere. Amen? Let me ask you, when you worry about your past, does anything change?
No.
When you worry about the future, does that ensure your control of it?
No.
The only thing worry does is to stir up a lot of heartburn. Amen. Jesus gives us a fourth truth about worry in Matthew 6, which is worry is unnecessary. Worry is unnecessary. Verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? There is simply no need to worry because God has promised to take care of you if you just trust Him. You know, when I was a child, my parents would buy me a toy at Christmas. I never once asked them how they could afford to buy that for me. And when I asked them for money, I didn't do that very often. If they gave it to me, I spent it. No questions asked. Well, friends, God is saying, hey, I'm your heavenly Father. If you're not worried how your earthly Father will supply your needs, then why in the world are you worried about how your heavenly Father will supply your needs? In Philippians 4:19, in the NIV, it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus.
Wow, yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The bottom line is that worry is an indicator that you have misunderstood the heart of God. I want to say that again.
Yeah.
I don't want you to miss it. The bottom line is that worry is an indicator that you have misunderstood the heart of God. And if you do have a misunderstanding of His heart, then you're not likely to trust Him. If you can't trust Him, then you are going to worry. You know, we cry out and say, God, please forgive me of my sins and save my soul, but I'll take care of my own finances. Do you see how silly this behavior is? If God can forgive your sins and give you the promise of eternal life, then He can certainly take care of any other problem.
Amen.
Amen?
That's right. Yeah.
Any problem you might have. Listen, God said He would supply all our needs, emotional, physical, spiritual, relational, if we just trust Him. Just trust Him. Now, there's a fifth point that Jesus makes in Matthew 6. And this may shock you some. Worry is unchristian.
Yeah.
Worry is unchristian. Verse 31 and 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 32. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things.
Yeah.
Consider this. When you worry, you're acting like an atheist. Or like God doesn't exist. You see, I get it when an unbeliever worries. They have no promise of a future hope. I get it when they're confused or feel helpless over a situation. They have no one to rely on except themselves. But the believer has thousands of promises in God's Word to stand on. They have a blessed hope of where they will spend their future. And there are promises in God's Word that He will provide help in all the circumstances of life.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
For instance, God promises in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So again, when we worry, we are behaving like unbelievers. Amen. In fact, you are assuming responsibility that God never, ever intended for you to bear.
Yeah.
Never. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how many seminars or self-help books you read that say you are the master of your own life. You are not.
No. Amen.
Certainly, we have the freedom to make choices, but you don't have control of everything around you. It's like when someone tells you that you can be anything you want to be. Well, that's just not true. But I can be all that God wants me to be.
Yes.
Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
Listen, I think the epitome of worry is when everything is going well and yet you are still thinking, what if? I mean, things are just going great. And you ask, when's the other shoe going to drop? Friends, it's certainly not God's desire for you to live like that.
No.
Now, before I give you the antidote to worry, I want you to write down what you think your greatest fear or worry is. Do that right now. By the way, if your greatest worry is the one sitting next to you, just draw an arrow pointing in his direction.
Look out. Yes.
I got it right here.
You got it written down?
In my brain.
Got an arrow pointing at me.
In my brain.
My
heart. Now, do you want to know what Jesus says about ridding yourself of worry? First of all, make God the center of every area of your life. Make God the center of every area of your life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Amen.
We need to be reminded that our worry can negate Christ's authority. It is as though that which concerns us has become more powerful than God. Saints, Jesus should be and must be the source of your life. If we want to experience peace of mind, then Jesus must be at the center of everything we care about. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
If I haven't included Jesus in my finances, they will eventually become a source of anxiety. If I haven't included Him in my marriage, then my marriage will be of constant concern and frustration. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Any area where you don't include God becomes a source of worry for you, regardless whether that's your job, your kids, your health, whatever. Whatever. Isn't that what Jesus is wanting us to understand in the 33rd verse? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Amen.
Jesus must be included in any and all of life's situations. Then He will work out all things for the good.
Amen.
Here's another way you can avoid worry. Live just one day at a time. Live one day at a time. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, don't open up your umbrella until it rains. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. Haven't you ever heard that there are only 2 days of the week you should never worry about? And that's yesterday and tomorrow. Don't worry about those days. Because when you fret over yesterday's problems and worry about what might happen tomorrow, you simply miss the blessings of today.
Amen. Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 in the NIV says, give us today our daily bread.
Amen.
Amen. When the Lord taught us to pray, He didn't say, give us our month's allotment of bread.
He said daily.
No. No, you are to depend upon God one day at a time. One day at a time.
Amen.
The third way to avoid worry is to trust God to care for the things beyond your control. Trust God to care for the things beyond your control. Earlier in the message, I mentioned that worry and trust are the exact opposites. They can't survive in the same heart. When you allow worry into the front door of your heart, faith is sliding out the back. Let me say that again. When you allow worry into the front door of your heart, faith is sliding out the back. We have all encountered problems in life that are beyond our control. But be assured, brothers and sisters, there's nothing beyond God's control. Nothing. Amen?
That's right.
Philippians 4, 6 and 7, New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Wow. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Saints, if you don't think your situation is worth praying about, then it's certainly not worth worrying about. Amen? But if there is anything distressing you, stirring that anxiety within, then you must turn it over to God. There are over 7,000 promises that God gave us in His Word. Over 7,000. There's not one struggle that you will encounter today for which God hasn't given you a promise.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If God loved you enough to send His own Son to die for you, don't you think He cares enough to provide for your every need? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In 2 Chronicles, there's a story about King Jehoshaphat of Israel. The children of God were preparing for war, but they were outnumbered 3-1. In the natural, there seemed to be absolutely no way they could win this battle. And yet, just as they were ready to step on the battlefield, God speaks through one of the men. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 says this, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem and at Turning Point Church. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, Pastor Jerry. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's."
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
The battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Amen.
Glory.
Folks, what has you worried this morning? Are you fretting about finances, your health, a conflict in marriage, or a relationship, your kids? What is it? And I know that some of you are facing difficult struggles right now. So it's hard for me to stand up here and say, don't worry. It's hard. But dear saints, Jesus has told us to cast our care upon Him. Because why?
He cares
for us. He cares for us. So I would challenge you in 2022 to quit worrying. Build your faith and quit worrying. Amen? God loves you and He wants the best for you. But He wants you to lean on Him, to trust in His goodness, and believe that He has it all in control.
Hallelujah.
Why not make a decision today that you will give God that one area of worry that you wrote down earlier? Just that one area. Give it to God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's release the regrets from yesterday. Refuse the fears of tomorrow. And receive the peace He has for you today.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me repeat that. Release the regrets from yesterday. Refuse the fears of tomorrow. And receive the peace he has for you today. Amen? Let's stand together. Amen. All right, I want us to pray together. Just repeat after me, please. God, forgive me.
God, forgive me.
For allowing worry.
For allowing worry.
To take hold of my life.
To take hold of my life.
Today I decide.
Today I decide.
To quit worrying.
To quit worrying.
To let go of my fears.
To let go of my fears.
To trust you.
To trust you.
With this area of my life.
With this area of my life.
And God.
And God.
I would ask for your peace.
I would ask for your peace.
A peace that passes.
A peace that passes.
All understanding.
All understanding.
A peace that only comes.
A peace that only comes.
By trusting you.
By trusting you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, saints, go in God's peace and don't worry. Be happy.
Amen.
Amen. Don't worry. Be happy.
I
got what? Yes. Yes. About pride and work.